this is not the first time that this piece of work has gotten attention internationally.
Well, the thing that's really gratifying to me is that it's gotten so much attention on the internet, in the sense that it's moved people. This is what I wanted it to do. You want to do artwork that isn't just so personal that it doesn't affect other people. You want it to, at least I do, I want it to have an effect in people's lives. And many people have told me that it's meant something to them personally, that maybe they had an addiction they were trying to break, or they were, some personal relationship. And it's a piece that, my idea with the piece was I wanted to create a piece that was conceptual. I love philosophy, and I think of myself primarily as a humanist who does sculpture as a medium. That's how I express myself. And I wanted to create a piece. I thought, I want to pick a big idea, and freedom seemed like a pretty good idea. I want to do one about mutability and other things in the future. But so I thought, if I'm going to express freedom, the way to express it, you have to have the kind of yin and yang. You have to show non-freedom as well. So I have a figure at the beginning that's locked into place, and then you have to show the struggle. So that's how you show it, that you show warm with cool and so on. So I have this struggle to break free, and I wanted to create a piece that was large enough that people would drive by and they would see the big action. They would see what it's about. And then if they had time, and if they walked there, they worked in this building, they would see something new in it every day. So I have a lot of details in the sculpture as well. Because there are a lot of pieces, I think, from a distance you see something, and that's the whole story, and there's nothing more to see. But I wanted to have something. Because in real life, if you see a tree from a distance, it might be beautiful. The closer you get to the tree, the more beauty you see, right up to the leaf, right up to the veins in the leaf. You know, if you took a microscope out, you'd see even more. But so I wanted to have that, because that's how we see the world. That's how we experience it.
And what are those details that are in the piece that you don't see if you just drive by, as most people do?
Well, a lot of the details are personal. I was reading a lot of T.S. Eliot at the time, and there was much in there, you know, in his biography about his hometown and some of the streets that he referred to. And, well, the Beatles do that too with Penny Lane and so on, if I can use a pop example. And so my father's in the sculpture. I mean, my mother's in the sculpture. I took my father's head that I had already sculpted while he was living, and I made a wax of it, and I dropped it from about a foot high, and it cracked into pieces, and then I put the cracked head into the sculpture. I had a reason for that.
What was the reason?
Well, because he was a fractured person, and he had, I think it was bipolar, and there was some things about him that I wanted to express. And I found, I had bought this old plastiline. I get this plastiline, it's over 100 years old, and there was a sculpture in it. This particular one is probably not as old as that, but there was a child sculpture left in there, and I took that and I put that in under his head to show the child that he was underneath it all. And if you look under his head, you'll see this little child head under there that I don't know who did it. It was a prominent sculptor whose clay I got. But I buy this clay that I have, D.C. French's clay, who made the Lincoln Memorial. And so when you see my Lincoln, I use that clay. And I have clay from many of the prominent sculptors you see around the country that did pieces before the 1940s and 30s.
This piece conceptually came from you. It was commissioned by the pharmaceutical company, but you went to them and told them what it was going to be.
It was actually commissioned by the people who built the building, who owned the building, Liberty Properties. And they came in and wanted a piece for their foyer from just near the elevators, a small piece. And once I showed them a piece I'd already been working on, this conceptual model, this maquette, and Jim Lutz, to his credit, said, oh, this would be a great piece. Can you make it a little larger because it's too small for the entrance as you walk in? And then I made a larger model, and he and I both started talking about, well, this would be great, really large outside. He had an idea of doing something else outside, and he saw the potential for this. And we ended up making a 20-foot-long bronze.
And it should have been more three-dimensional even than it was. It should have had a rear as well, right?
Well, when I noticed as I was making it, actually, this happened more after it was cast in bronze. I said to him, you know, this is very interesting in the back, behind it. On one side, you've got freedom, and then we could say that we could call this on the other side of freedom and show these bound figures on the other side. You'll be getting twice as much sculpture for your money, in a sense. And he said, well, we're already told people we're going to put it into the wall. And I said, well, maybe we can expose the back of the wall, but I guess it was too difficult to do. But I hope in the future sometime, if I ever sell another one, I'd love to have it out where people can walk around it and see the other side. And I want to add chains and things. But I think it would, again, show this contrast, freedom and the other side of freedom. It's just interesting that as an accident, it's interesting on the back side of it that it has this appearance of bound figures.
And as you approach it then, as you say, most people or many people see it as they drive past it, but they actually see it in reverse because the person is free In other words, it follows the, it goes the wrong direction for the traffic.
Well, they can read it from left to right, but as you say, if, the way they come in with by car, they'll probably see the free figure first, the figure that has escaped the vacuum, that space that it was in.
Is that a good thing, you think?
I would prefer probably for them to see it from the bound figure. It's sequential. I wanted, you know, sculpture by its nature is static, and I wanted to create a piece that was that moved, that had a sense of motion, and it really, it's not four figures. It's one figure going through the motion. I mean, it's a lot of things at once. This piece is a very postmodern piece. This is a piece that shows you how a figure is made, because it goes from a very basic figure. It's a lesson how to sculpt, and it shows how many heads tall. It's got markings on it. It's got a line down the middle. And then it gets progressively more developed as it goes to the free figure, which also philosophically works out, because as you free yourself, you develop yourself. So it's about self-development, self-creation, I guess kind of the Nietzschean thing of self-creation. And there's a sculpture tool in there with my hand that's cast into it. There are calipers. There are a lot of elements of how to sculpt a figure in the sculpture. So it's that. And as I said, it's even got the maquette, the idea, the seed for the sculpture is in the left-hand side in the corner. And then also it's very autobiographical with the pieces in it of my mother and my father and Don McLean and others, because he inspired part of it. And also, it's also a piece that is a one-man show of my work. I found it difficult to get an exhibit of my work in Philadelphia, so I put about 20 bronze sculptures in it. So it's a permanent exhibit of little figures and things that I've done, that the kind of things I would show in a gallery. But they also kind of fit in, because it's about the human condition, and there are figures in various elements of the human condition. I took sculptures that I had done, most of them around 24 inches high, and I took waxes out of the mold, and I took fragments, and I put fragments into it. So it has a lot of the Rodin influence, The Gates of Hell, one of my favorite pieces in Philadelphia or anywhere. And it became for me a kind of creative soup as I was developing the sculpture, just like The Gates of Hell was for him, where I could just put pieces in, take pieces out, move them around. It was a way to develop my thinking. It was open-ended, really, as a piece. And it is now. You know, I wanted it to be a piece where people approach it and they can see what they want in it. It's not a piece like my Mike Schmidt, let's say, at the Philadelphia Stadium, where, you know, it's Mike Schmidt and it's a nice piece, but it is Mike Schmidt. It doesn't leave room for it to be about something else. It's about his athleticism and his focus. And this is a piece that you can bring yourself to it, and you can place yourself literally in the piece. I wanted people to participate. And so you can actually stand in the piece. I mean, the other thing it's about philosophically is escaping death through a creative act. And for me, it's sculpture. You know, by doing sculpture, to some degree, I defy death, although it's a limited defiance. I know I'm going to die. And as Heidegger said, even after you die, your piece changes, because people interpret it differently long after you're dead. So it won't stay the same. But for me, it's about, I mean, I'm obsessed with time passing. I'm obsessed with mutability. And this is largely about escaping the grave. It's kind of a Lazarus piece there. But, you know, it's a humanistic piece. It's not necessarily a religious piece, although people sometimes see that in it if they want. But it's just about struggling to break free and escape death.
Are you pleased to be in the same category with the likes of Michelangelo's David? And it's quite a compliment, right?
Well, you know, I specifically have learned from people like Michelangelo. I took from one of his figures, like one of his struggling captive figures that's in stone that I saw in his home. Is the second figure in my Freedom directly refers to that. So I've been very influenced by him, and of course I'm not in the category of Michelangelo and so on, but it's nice to have been mentioned in the same article. I don't know how you would have felt about it, but
everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.